If you looked at the title of today's sermon, What Did You Do? You might have asked yourself, well, how do you express that? It can be expressed in a variety of ways. For instance, if I discover that one of my cats has left me a little accident, I would say, what did you do? If I'm talking to someone who's had a big problem face them in life, I might ask, what did you do? Or I might ask, what did you do? Or I might ask, what did you do? Which way did I intend it? Well, I'm going to answer that question through the life of a movie star, a name you probably know, Kevin Bacon. Don't worry, I'm not going to play the game 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about that either. Actor Kevin Bacon was talking to his 6-year-old son about something one day, and he reported this conversation. After his 6-year-old saw Kevin's movie called Footloose for the first time, he asked his dad, he said, Dad, you know that thing you did in the movie where you were swinging from the rafters on that building? That was really cool. How did you do that? And Kevin explained, well, I did not do that part. It was a stunt double who did that. What's a stunt double? He said. Well, that's somebody who dresses like me and sort of looks like me and does things that I cannot do. Oh, he said, a little confused, and he walked out of the room. He came back later that same day, and he said, hey, Dad, you know that part in that movie where you were spinning around on that gym bar and then you flipped in the air and you landed on your feet? How did you do that? Well, I didn't do that either. That was a gymnastics double. What's a gymnastics double? Well, it's a guy who dresses like I do and sort of looks like I do and does things that I can't do. And there was a long silence. And then his son asked the question. Dad, what did you do? And Kevin Bacon answered, well, I got all the glory. And that made me think about the grace of God. We got all the glory. Jesus Christ took our sins on himself. And he did what we cannot do for you, for me. We stand forgiven and we bask in the glory of the Son of God. And that made me think about a number of biblical characters who probably had conversations with their children during their lives. For instance, Gideon. I know that you know that story. On some of my pilgrimages to the Holy Land, I'd love to go back to the Holy Land. I've been there 15 times, and I said my body just can't do it anymore. But I would long to go back and travel there and walk in the footsteps of Jesus one more time. On some of my pilgrimages, that word, to the Holy Land, I have had the privilege of taking people to the spring of Harod, which is the spring where Gideon came with his soldiers, and you know that wonderful and famous story. It's a beautiful, crystal clear spring that flows out of a rock. In Judges 7, chapter 7, we read about it. Gideon and his men were camping by that spring, and they were preparing to go into battle against the Midianites, against an army that was vastly larger and more powerful than theirs, and they were frightened. And here is what God said to Gideon. You know this. He said, You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. You know what happened? There were 32,000 men there. 22,000 of them left. That meant that he had just 10,000 of them remaining. That was a little bit discouraging. But God said, that's still too many. And I suspect you know the rest. God told Gideon to take the men down to that beautiful, clear, crystal spring and have them drink water and observe them. And he said, anyone who laps the water like a dog, they're not going to stay. And anyone who puts the water to their mouth, I'm going to let you keep them. 9,700 men lapped like a dog and went home. That left 300 men. That is less than 1% of his original resources. Think about that, brothers and sisters. With less than 1% of his resources, Gideon won the battle by God's help. Flash forward a number of years. Gideon is at home, and someone says, well, Dad, what did you do? And Gideon said, I got all the glory. And I thought about Moses. Let my people go. 10 plagues, parting the Red Sea, manna from heaven. Flash forward. Dad, what did you do? Well, I got all the glory. Think about Joshua. The River Jordan parted. The walls of Jericho came down. Flash forward. Dad, what did you do? Well, I got all the glory. Think about the disciples. Think about the apostles laying hands on people and praying for them to be healed and delivered from demons. And they were healed and they were delivered from demons. Flash forward. And you know what they said. You know the story. Now, perhaps examples such as these are what inspired some of the psalmists to write some of the words that we have in the Psalms, including the one that we dwelt on earlier today, Psalm 34. It began this way, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Now, hear those words more than just an expression that sounds good in a worship song. Hear them as an outcry. Hear them as an expression of joy and of victory. Hear them proclaimed by someone who knows who the miracle worker is. In just that one example, the psalmist exclaims in verse 4 that the Lord had delivered him from, listen, all his fears. Think about that. How many fears do you carry through this life, brothers and sisters? According to the researchers, we all have fears. And according to them, they like to make lists. They've made the list of the 10 most common fears that we carry. The number one fear in the list, I'm surprised, but it is. The number one fear in the list is the fear of flying. The next is the fear of public speaking. That's the one I struggle with. Not. Or the fear of heights. Or the fear of dying. The fear of intimacy. The fear of failure. The fear of rejection. The fear of spiders and snakes. I identify with those two. And lastly, the fear of commitment. What are your fears? What are your fears? What if God delivered you from all of your fears? Would you say, oh, that feels better? No. You would proclaim in a joyful outcry, I will extol the Lord. You will praise his name because he delivered you from all your fears. His praise would be on your lips. Amen. She's not here. Amen. Now listen especially to verse 11 of Psalm 34. Come, my children. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Several things I want you to notice there. The psalmist used different words for the word fear. In the first case, the psalmist was talking about his personal fears in the sense of fright. But in the second case, he was talking and teaching to his children about the fear of the Lord in the sense of having awe and reverence of the Lord God Almighty. Paraphrased, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you to stand in awe of the Lord. Now, here's something else to notice. His children, in this example, did not come to him and say, Dad, what did you do? Mom, what did you do? Instead, he proactively went to the children to teach the children to love and respect the Lord. That's what we need to do. Grandparents, great-grandparents, we need to proactively go to them and teach them the fear of the Lord. I have 10 grandchildren. I have a situation right now with one of my 10 who's sinning. She's bought a lie. She's bought the cultural lie. And I'm really torn. I don't want to upset my relationship with my granddaughter. But God tells me I need to warn her. I need to confront her. I need to guide her. I need to love her enough to come to her and say, fear the Lord and do what is right. You know what is right. Let's stay with this psalm just a little bit longer. I'm reading from verse 17. It says, the righteous will cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. What do the righteous do? They cry out. Are you one of the righteous? You betcha. If you are in a covenant relationship with the Almighty God, the living God, the answer is yes, you are one of the righteous. God the Father is righteous. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. And through his Holy Spirit, you have been given the gift of righteousness. So you are one of the people that this psalm is talking about. Let's go back to the psalm and I'll read it differently. You cry out, and the Lord hears you. Wow. Wow. You cry out, and the Lord hears you. The Lord delivers you from all of your troubles. Is that great or what? Do you like that? Do you claim that? Claim it. Live it. Two verses later, it says, a righteous person may have many troubles. Amen? A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him or her from them all. Hallelujah. And what did you do? You got all the glory. You got all the glory. So you need to acknowledge him and you need to thank him for being the source of all the goodness that has come into your life. You need to tell everybody about the Lord and what the Father has done for you and what he offers to them as well. It's good news. It's great news. We need to be more evangelists. The psalmist said, my soul will boast in the Lord. My soul will boast in the Lord. Jeremiah 9, verse 22, God says this, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, and the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord. He understands and he knows that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. What did you do? Nothing. God does it all. Galatians 6:14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Does this sound familiar? It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that what? No one can boast. Our calling is to give God all the glory. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you. We exalt your name. We thank you and we praise you because he has done it all. You know what? Kevin Bacon did not get all the glory. Because the kind of glory that he was talking about was merely fame and admiration and praise. There's another kind of glory, and it has two definitions. Here's the first one. Resplendent beauty and magnificence. And here's the second one, and it refers to a condition, a state of absolute happiness and contentment. That is how we feebly try to describe heaven. A place of magnificent beauty and a place of indescribable happiness. Exodus 16:10. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of God appearing to them. Do you have the image? Do you have the image in your mind? Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Isaiah 40, verse 4, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it. Revelation 21, 23, the city does not need the sun nor the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and the Lamb is the lamp. A hymn writer by the name of Charles Gabriel put it this way. When all of my labors and trials are o'er and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will be through the ages glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Glory for me. The great news about that is the fact that you could have written that hymn. Did you know that? You could have written it. Why? Because of something you did? What did you do? You surrendered. You released the dregs of your life to the only one who can clean you up and dress you up and raise you up and lift you up and fill you up and straighten you up. Hallelujah. I love this verse from Exodus 15:11. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? And I love this chorus. And the glory of the Lord. Matthew 29:11, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. When that happens, brothers and sisters, when you see him coming in the clouds, that is when you will get all the glory. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.